In Parshas Kitavo, we have Moshe Rabbeinu saying that when they get across the Yarden on Har Gerizim and Har Eval, these two mountains, there'll be six tribes standing on one, six tribes standing on the other. And it's fascinating to know, if you take a look at which tribes are where, you almost wonder, well, why were these tribes chosen, those tribes chosen? You do the math of how much each tribe were, you will see that there's exactly equal amount on both sides, and that's why perhaps there was a division in this way, to say that half of Klai Yisrael standing on one, half on the other, Levim in the middle. And they begin with saying 11 curses. A curse is a man who will make a graven or molten image, and in place in its secret, and the entire people will speak up and say Amen. A curse is one who degrades his father or mother, people say Amen, etc., etc. The final curse, which is in Pasuk Kavav, a curse is a man who will not uphold the words of this Torah to perform them, and the people, entire people, will say Amen. Avrur asher lo yakim et divrei Torah zot lasot otam. And Rashi points out straight away, and this is in 1b, the nation accepted a curse upon anyone who does not uphold all of the Torah. Well, the obvious question is, well, is that not inclusive of the entire Torah, then why do I have to have the specifics of not creating a graven image, of not degrading one's parents, of not perverting justice, all the others? Like, is this not all inclusive? So obviously we need to understand, well, what does it mean, a curse is the one who will not uphold the words of the Torah? So you could say it, as she's saying it, in a general sense, there's a curse of anyone not keeping the whole Torah. Again, we need to understand, what is this about? So the Divrei David, the Taz, in source number 2, notes what's the difference. He says, Sharur klali hamur binyan mutav raka mishover veiro b'merit u'b'mal klapei mala. The final Arur, cursed is the one who does not upkeep the Torah, is one who is not upkeeping the Torah in a merit type of way, in a very lahachis way. I am not doing what the Torah says, and they are rebelling against Hashem. Well, the other 11 curses are on somebody who does it even below kavanah, even without intention. They degrade their parents without intention, they make a molten image without intention, they are punishable. While the last one is only punishable if one does it in a rebellious type of way. And that's a distinction that would explain the difference between the two. However, I'd like to try to take a look at three approaches the Ramban Nachmanides brings of what does it mean, Arur asher lo yakim et divrei Torah zot lasot otam. What is this referring to? Cursed is a person who does not uphold the words of the Torah. I'd like to take a look at three ideas of the Ramban. Within the ideas we'll see perhaps a number of sub-ideas. And then we'll end with a fourth idea, Derech Remez, that the Dach Raga brings based on the Medrash. So, L'divrei Ramban, this is talking about source 3, Ulefi da'ati ke'a kabbalah zot shi'arebe mitzvot b'libo v'yu b'ina v'emet. It's important that we look at all of Torah is true, and that I am going to be honest and trying to do my best to keep the entire Torah. Yakim mashmuto hakara b'tokfam ha'mechayev shalom mitzvot. Says Rav Reis in source 3, what the Ramban is saying is, we're not talking about actually doing here, we're talking about mindset. A person's mindset toward Torah is that I am committed to keeping the entire Torah, like Kimu v'kibbol Yehudim. It may mean that I'll be more successful at times and less successful at times, but I am committed, and I know that all of Torah is true, and I'm committed to doing all of Torah, which is what the Malbim points out. It's interesting, the Malbim looks at here, and this is very important when you take a look at the time period of the Reform and the Haskalah that the Malbim lived in, where the Malbim says, Yakim, to upkeep, is from the language of Chai v'Kayam, the end of 3. That is which is alive. The Hainu Bal Tokef Nitzchi, it is eternal. And this is what the Malbim says. He says is, a person who says, you know, this isn't current. We don't need this mitzvah today. Is this going to be applicable to us in our generation where we live? This is what is the arur. This is what the cursed is all about. A person can't say that Torah is limited to time and place. One has to realize that Torah is universal, both in all places and in all times. And we see the results of what the Malbim is talking about. That indeed, we know those who just said this isn't applicable, that isn't applicable, the great-grandchildren today aren't even Jewish. This idea of the Ramban is what the Rabbeinu Yonah writes. And let's take a look at this Rabbeinu Yonah, because a lot of people quote it in source number 6. Katav Rabbeinu Yonah. Vata bina shamazot. Listen, understand this. Ki hi ikar gadol, because this is very fundamental. Emet, it's true. Ki yesh shadikim shenichshalim b'chet lefamim. You have righteous people who at times do indeed sin. Ki inyan shenamar ki adam ein tzadik ba'aretz asher aseh tov v'lo yachta. There's no person, Kohelet tells us, who's a complete tzaddik who doesn't sin. Achem kovshim et yitzram me'ei p'nehem, v'im yiplu b'chei pamachat lo yishnu lo v'nokdu b'fneim v'chofim b'tshuva. And these people fall, they do tshuva and return. Ah, kol asher eino nisar mechei, yadu ve'no mekabel nafsho lishamer mimenu, gamim hu ma'avanot hakalim. But one who's not careful of sin and doesn't take on himself to be careful to guard himself, even if it's going to be a minor, whatever minor means, sin, even if they're careful with all the affairs of the Torah, our rabbis call them umar l'davar achad, the rebellion in one area. Says Rabbeinu Yonah the following. When we're talking about arur asher lo yakim et divrei haTorah hazot, is one who says, I'm ready to accept upon myself all the mitzvahs. I'm ready to do everything, except this one mitzvah. This one mitzvah is just not relevant to me. This one mitzvah just doesn't speak to me. A person who has that mentality, says Rabbeinu Yonah, eino nisar mechek yadua, veino mekabel nafsho lishamer mimenu. He's not trying. He doesn't care about it. It doesn't affect him. It's not relevant to him. That's what we're talking about here. And indeed, as the Titcha Elyon quote, such a person is somebody who is not nechshevet, is not considered as one who has Kabbalat o Malchut Shamayim. Ki kol ma sha'asai no mitzad kiyum rak mitzad shisharim beinav. This isn't called accepting the yoke of heaven upon your head. This is called doing it when it feels right to you. Right? If it doesn't feel right to you, so you're not going to do it. That's not Kabbalah at all. Yiddishkeit is about accepting the yoke of kingship. And that's why the Rosh Sharim notes in source number 8, the Chafetz Chaim writes, if a person says, you know what? I can't be careful about Shmiras HaLashon. I just talk too much, and I have too much to say, and this whole business of Lashon Hara is just too hard for me. That could be somebody who could be included, God forbid, in this arur, in this curse. Rather, a person has to say, you know what, it's difficult, it's hard, but I'm going to try. I'm going to learn to halachos each day. I'm going to be sensitive to it. When I do fall, I'm going to immediately recognize that I fell, and I'll try to be careful the next time, and I'll think before I speak. You may not be perfect, but you're going to make an attempt to become able to keep this mitzvah as well as all the other mitzvahs. The Mashkiach, Rameir Chodosh, the old Moshe quotes in source number 9, says, She'ofen kiyom ha-mitzvot alav liyot achuz b'tuna ha'avdos. Our mindset toward mitzvot. And this is what Elul is about. Elul is about reaffirming our relationship with Hashem. Ani l'dodi v'todi li. And how do we characterize this relationship? Of course, it's a love relationship of dov, of a beloved. At the same time, it's a relationship of avdos. I am a servant of Hashem, which means that I am placed in this world as a Jew to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu 24/7. And whatever He tells me to do, I have to do. That's why Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. He took me out to become from Avdei Paro, from the servants of Paro, to Avdei Hashem, to the servants of Hashem. Lord, now we can appreciate what Rabbeinu Yonah says. I'm one who doesn't guard themselves to watch, to make sure that they don't commit a certain sin. Adam zemufkal lechalutim, they've taken off themselves any aspect of avdus, any aspect of being able to take the yoke of kingship. And he says, this is like a person who says, I'll listen to my master, and I'll do whatever he says except for this one thing. Well, at the moment you say, except for this one thing, he's no longer your master. You're your own master. You're only listening to him because it feels good for you. It feels comfortable. It makes sense to you. And this is what we have to understand, my friends, at the bottom of nine, right? You know what, Chomer Davar? This is very serious. Kashir Adam Nigash L'Kayim Mitzvah L'Lo Kabbalat Ol. When a person is going to approach mitzvahs without the Kabbalat Ol, without the yoke, and the yoke means I'm doing things that are uncomfortable for me, that are stretching myself, that are difficult for me, like guarding your tongue. And he quotes here, B'tzoto Marchiv B'tzoto Mekatzer. Such a person, based on the piyut in Yom Kippur of Kinei Kachomer B'yat HaYotzer, right, the potter in the potter's hand, the pot in the potter's hand, that this is, you know, when you will it, you make it longer, when you will it, you make it shorter, and Torah is according to your whims. Hurak Mishtadel L'chayim, we try to do, with Mishtadel being in brackets. We have to understand that it's not about trying, it's about saying, I am committed 100% to keeping Torah mitzvot. I'll do my best to keep them. However, I understand that it's not up to me to decide what to do. As the Chazon Ish writes in 10 in the asterisk, that whatever you are approached to do, whatever comes your way, ki b'chol dover v'dover, and every single thing, yeshli ja'etz im arba chilka shulchan aruch. You have to check with the shulchan aruch. What am I allowed to do? And Nos Rav Gamliel here, you know what this means? Ki miktivo shel adam shu chovav chevrut. A person likes to be free. Don't tell me what to do. Starts from a little kid. You know, I'll put on the clothes that I want to put on, what I want to put on, and I'll cross the street when I want to do whatever I want to do. People love freedom. Hu me'arer otanu, l'mod ken, yeah, I'll learn. L'tpelo ken, sure, I'll daven. And I'll even do nice things. Aval lichyo b'chol eidu b'chol rega, but every single minute, every single hour of Kabbalat Ol, that every single motion I do has to be part of the Shulchan Aruch. Whoa! That's too much for me. And this, my friends, is what the Shofar is about, and this is what Elul is about. Ur yesheni mishnatchem. You're living a life as an Eved. Welcome to the club. And it's a very exclusive club. It's a club of listening to what the master says. And it's interesting, you know, if a person would join, trust me, I have no idea, but I could imagine, okay? So let's imagine with me, some of you may know better than me, a country club, right? It's an exclusive country club, and only certain people get in. So there may be rules in that country club of who you're allowed to invite in with you, and how you're supposed to dress. And I don't know, I have no idea about country clubs, my friends, trust me. But you can imagine that there could be rules. And a person will say, well, I want to bring in whoever I want. Well, what business is this? And you say, well, if you want to be part of this exclusive country club, then this is it. And it's a sign of honor to be part of this club. We are part of a club. And there are rules. And just like it's an honor to be able to abide by the rules of a country club, it's an honor for me to be part of Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yiddishkeit, and to be able to do what Ritzon Hashem is. And that's the Ani L'doti, because I love Hashem, because I recognize that I'm here for the larger purpose of serving Hashem, and that the world has no other meaning except for Adon Olam Asher Malah B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, for the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world even before the world was around. That's the only point of purpose in this world. So when I recognize this, so out of love, I say, wow, Hodu L'Hashem, Ashreinu Matov Chokeinu, how fortunate are we to be part of this, to be able to do what Hashem's will is. So again, we're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. However, my mindset is, I'm going to do everything I can to the best of my ability. And when I mess up, because no one's perfect, I have tshuva. And I take tshuva seriously. And as Rabbi Fuss points out in Yaakov Lecha Tov in source number 11, Rabbeinu Yonah again, V'lo yimatzei ichur ha-tshuva zulati ba'amei aret. Only the simpletons put off tshuva. A person who is connected to Hashem as soon as they mess up. It's like you're in a relationship with somebody who you're very connected to and who you like. So let's say you say something, you know, that's going to hurt them. Or you're going to do something that's going to hurt them. You're not going to wait 11 months to say sorry right away. Oh, I'm so sorry I said that. I'm so sorry I did that. I really didn't mean it. Immediately you apologize.
Because that's what a relationship is about. And so if one feels that this is what Torah is about a relationship and closeness, you're not going to wait to do tshuva. You know, I had students who say to me, really, Mrs. Miles, there's an idea of doing tshuva, not only Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And I say to them, have you ever opened up a siddur? Yislach lan avinu kichatana, forgive us Hashem because we've sinned. Right? Hashivein avinu sar secha. Hashem, bring us back to your Torah 3 times a day. It's all about tshuva. Before I go to sleep, read Bama Shalom, read Mochel, please. I forgive all those in Loachtau and I shouldn't sin anymore. Umashachatati lefenecha, b'chol berachamecha rabim, please forgive what I've done. That's about recognizing and being conscious of having this relationship. Having said that, although that's what the ideal world is, the very least, this is what Elul is about. V'lachei matova manayim, Rav Gamliel, in source 14, Rav Gamliel, Rabbeinu Tifa Mawatim, how appropriate is it this time, v'yamim k'doshim halalu, in these holy times of Elul, l'aso bedek bayit, to do an introspection. I gave bonanuva chakira beretzav masami day yom b'yomo. Look at your actions during the course of the day. Start when you wake up in the morning. How do you get up out of bed? Moda'ani, negavasa. Go through your day, davening, with kavana, without kavana. I make sure to daven. I sometimes daven. I sometimes say a bracha. I always say a bracha. I sometimes say with a kavana. I always do it correctly. I go through your whole day. Step by step, the people you meet, how you greet the people. You know, when your kids come home from school, are you on the phone? Are you on the machine? Are you putting everything down and saying hello to them like a Sefer Torah is entering the home, right? You open the door, psicha, with no gadgets in hand, just with a warm smile. This is the bedek habayit that we have to do. Having said this, I'd just like to emphasize an idea we've seen many times before, but it's equally relevant every time we come to this time of year. In the Sefer Shar Elul of Vakshav, where he points out in Source 15, the very big chiddush of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, where he says, Shechol HaPachor, in the bracket of 15, Yir'eh Adam L'takena Kalot Shebechol Min Aveira. Hadam tzirich lechapeis drachav l'asok kabalot chazakol lishamir l'chol ha'pachot et asher nakel l'fanav v'chol pirtei ha'torah v'mitzvah. So let's try to explain this. Explains Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Obviously, when we take a look at our day, so there's a lot to be to work on, right? There's a lot in kavana, there's a lot in ben adam l'chaveiro, there's a lot in being careful, shmir shabbos, whoa, kashrus, checking for bugs, whoa, there's a lot. So within every aveira that we have, or every potential situation of mitzvah we have, so there are many different levels, right? There's being super careful about all of Shabbos. And then there are certain halachos that may be easier to keep than others. And Shmir Salashon, there may be some areas that are easier to keep than others. So instead of saying, well, it's all or nothing, well, either I keep all of Shabbos perfectly or forget it. I do all of Shmir Salashon, I'll be careful what I say, or just forget it. Judaism is not an all or nothing. My approach, as we've said, my mindset is, I would like to try to be careful on everything. I am an Eved Hashem, Avdos. Having said that, I'm human. So I'm going to make an effort to be careful. However, let me start at least with that part which are easier. Let me pick the aspects of Shabbos which I know I'll be able to work on and really have that down. So let me at least be careful about those aveiros on Shabbos, whether it's boreh. You know, I'll take my clothes out before Shabbos, or I'll have my silverware set up in a certain way, or whatever it is. I'll set up the items where I know that at least in this area, I'll be very careful. And then I work frontward from there, and then I work upward. So that instead of saying, again, I'm trying everything, and while I'm doing boreh, of course I'm going to be careful about all the other lamatev halachot, obviously. However, at least I have a tshuva in an area that's easier. And then once I've built on that, and I see that I'm successful, I can take another part of boreh, or I can take another one of the lamatev halachot, and I build on that. In that way, at least I've done tshuva for part of an aveira, and that at least counts for tshuva. And a person has to be honest with themselves and say, this is what I'm working on, this is where I'm at, and this is what I'm trying to do. And that's the tshuva that Hashem accepts. So, you know, if this year I'm working on Boreh, next year I'm working on Ma'amer, and then I work my way up. So we'll see that over the course of time, we'll see, wow, I really could take this on. It's not as difficult as I thought. Now, having said all this, moving to the next page in source number 18, then the Sefer Mayanei Yeshua, Yisrael Lugassi, says the following, and this I can't emphasize enough. HaMevukash Mahadam Huklau Lo Lenatzeach Elili Lachem. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be challenging. The weather's suddenly going to change, and you don't want to wear that outfit that you took out. So now you have to figure out how to best take out that outfit. Or you have company coming that was unexpected, and you need to have more silverware. We know that there are challenges that happen. You're so careful about this area of Lashon Hara, but in this particular case, I just have to tell you, because it is so important that, okay, I know I'm trying to be careful with Rechilos, but I got it. Right? We fool. Falling is part of the nature. What Hashem wants from us is not necessarily to be 100% in action, because that is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a gift. He wants us to be involved in the process. L'nitzchono, to be 100%, that I have this mitzvah or aveira down, derushyatun mishmaya miyuchedet and yitenin l'basot. Needs a lot of help from above, which is a gift. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us is that I make the effort to at least struggle with this. And the struggle is what counts. We've seen this many times, the idea that Rabbi Biederman brings, that Klal Yisrael are called Yisrael, right? When Yaakov Avinu fights with the angel. It doesn't say that Yaakov Avinu is called Vatuchal, right? That Klal Yisrael are called people who vanquished, right? He's called Kisarita, because you struggled with the angel. Well, he beat the angel, so why are we called the ones who beat? Why are we called the ones who struggled? Yisrael, Kisarita, because you struggled. Because the answer, he says, is because that is what characterizes us. We recognize that this is our goal, to serve Hashem. And we recognize it's a process, and it's a lifelong process. And the struggle itself is what Hashem wants us to be in. He wants us to say, Hashem, this is what I want to do. And the Yetzer Hara is really strong, who's going to try to prevent me from doing this. And I know he's going to try to prevent me from doing this. And I am going to do my best to be able to be strong, to uphold whatever commitment I've made. And that's what, you know, Yitzchak Kuttner is very often quoted for saying, it's found in Source 18, that he bemoans the Sfarim that speak about the Gedolei Yisrael, where they're perfect, where they don't talk about how they got there. And it's just about, you know, at age 3, they knew all of Tanakh by heart. By age 5, they knew all of Shas by heart, and they never spoke Lashon Hara once in their life. It's not reality. And it's important to know the struggle itself, because that's what makes a Gedol. As Rav Kuttner again quote, Sheva Yipol Tzadik Dekah, a Tzadik fools 7 times and gets up. That's what makes him a tzaddik. What makes him a tzaddik is the fact that he fell. We're not asking for perfection here. Yehuda is the king and not Yosef. Yosef is a tzaddik. Yosef is a perfected person. Yehuda fell, and he fell, and he got up, and he said, Tzadkan many, you're more righteous than me. David HaMelech, Chatati LaShem, I stand for God. It's about falling and knowing how to get up. And here, the Stipler points out, She'etzem and the arrow, Hayit Gabrut va'kimama nefila, Hayit Tikkun ha'gadol biyoter, V'gufa nitzachon. You know what real victory is, says the Stipler Tzatzal? Stipler Gaon says, the fact that I get up. I fell. So I could sit in bed all day and say, oh my gosh, I am worth nothing. I can't believe it. Here I took on this Kabbalah. I was going to be careful about something, and boom, I can't even hold on to this. Whoa. The greatness of a person is to say, I fell. I can't believe I fell. I feel bad for falling. I do tshuva for it. And then I pick myself up and say, you know what? Next time I'm going to be better. Next time I'm going to try harder. And that's what we have to understand in Elul. Rav Gamliel Rabinowitz in Source 20 says, obviously, a person should take on Kabbalahs at this time. And he says, check yourself. If the Kabbalahs are too hard, you know, try for 3 weeks. Then take another one. Know that it's something that we want to try our best to do. So take something that's user-friendly, and then you might even fall in that. You pick yourself up, you try again, until you're able to really make this who and what you are. This, my friends, is idea number one. Idea number one of Avru Asher Lo Yakim is, cursed is the one who has an attitude problem of I'll do everything but. our job is to be yucky, is to try to uphold and upkeep all of what Torah and mitzvot are about. To recognize that Hashem is our king and we are his eved and we are his servant. To recognize that it's a love relationship and I don't want to hurt him and I don't want to hurt the relationship and I want him to be close to me. I also recognize that there's a tremendous amount that he has invested in me and for what me to do. The country club, quote unquote, rules are a lot more than five that are written down the paper. In fact, there's 613, even though they're not all applicable to us right now at this time. Nevertheless, that the ones we have in front of us are hard. My attitude is, I'm going to try all of them to the best of my ability. Having said that, I'm going to be able to decipher within them what are the ones that are easier for me to handle. Because as he quotes here a very powerful idea. He says, at the end of 16, Rabbi Shlomo Salanter, he says, by one avera, if you over one avera, it was something that was really easy that you could have done, that's far worse than if you went over many times something that was difficult to uphold. And we have to realize that. At least start with that which is easy. And hold on to those, and be careful, and have the zahiros, the awareness, which Elul is about. And they say the whole year should be Elul, but at least Elul should be Elul. And we should have that zahiros in these areas that are a little bit easier, and then be able to build and uphold everything else. And this is what Elul is about, to be able to realize that I'm trying, I'm taking on, and I should not be depressed and disappointed with falling, because part of the process of growth, and sometimes it's specifically through falling and feeling so bad that gives me that impetus to say, I'm going to try better next time. Idea number two of the Ramban in Source 21. This is the idea of Rav Yehuda saying in the name of Avruna, Source 21 in the middle, who said in the name of Shmuel. It was concerning this matter that Yoash, that Yoshiyahu, rent his garments and said, it's a commandment upon me to withhold. Uphold. Rav Asha said in the name of Rabbi Tanchum ben Chia, even if one studied the Torah and taught it to others and observed and performed its commandment, but had the capacity to strengthen it among the public and yet did not strengthen it, he is included in the curse of this verse. Idea number two is it's not enough to be able to learn Torah and keep its mitzvos. Arur Asher Lo Yakim is referring to when you have the ability to help others upkeep it, and you don't. The Amosha brings down, you ever wonder how we say in Ava Rabba, Source 23, V'tein b'libeinu, given our hearts to understand, to have wisdom, to listen, to learn, u'lilameid, and to teach. Well, some of us aren't teachers. Some of us aren't Rosh Yeshiva. Well, who is this actually referring to? El Tzarich L'dat Shekol Yadim Mashpia Minayin B'tol Kol Tzavim B'tol. So one level, if you're a parent, a neighbor, you do teach, you do influence. Having said that, just your being influences others. When you're among a group of people, people look at each other. When you come late to davening, people say, oh, if she came late to davening, I can come late to davening. She talks during Shemona Esrei, I can talk during Shemona Esrei. And you make an impression on other people. This is what you have to realize. We are all walking role models. And each and every one of us have the ability to impact others. And we do impact others. How many times do we say to ourselves, well, if it's okay for her, then it's okay for me. And if they buy it, then I can buy it. And if they go there, then I can go there. We set up a standard. We set up a pattern. And no, he continues to say, our rabbis teach us, Arur Asher Lo Yakim 24, Adam Shlama V'Shana V'Limei L'Chayrim, this is Gemara Yushalmi, person who learned, and taught others, and was mekayim the Torah. V'yesh b'yado korach lachzik yedeho seik b'torah v'mitzvah. And you have the ability to even impact more, and you don't. This is part of what this curse is about. A person can be a tzaddik, learns Torah all day, but it could be impacting others and influencing others. And mutal al kolcha. This is crucial in the squiggly in 24. It says the Omoshe. It is incumbent upon each one, here's the key, kefi shibikocho laso. Every person is judged with what they have the ability to do. to be able to stand in the trenches and be able to build an impact. So whether it's at work to try to impact those people at work, whatever it is, whoever you are. The Lev Eliyahu of El Yalopia speaks about this is the idea of Eved Maskil Upoel Ne'eman. You know what a loyal servant is? You know, it's like a person, he gives as an example, a person who is involved in doing a project and he's very, very, you know, careful about the project and very, you know, works diligently with the project. And then he sees that a bunch of his friends are lazing off. And, you know, they're not putting in the time and they're having more lunch breaks and coffee breaks than they are working. So if you really believed in the project and you really were dedicated to the boss, you would do something about it and say to these people, you know, this is your 14th lunch break in the last 20 minutes. You know, I think work has to get done here. And again, knowing how to obviously say that, that's somebody who shows loyalty to the boss. If we really felt the pain of the Churban around us, if we really felt pain of Hashem, that His children are lost, and that Torah and mitzvot aren't happening, right? If we really were held to this country club imagery, Lahavdil, right? Then I would want everybody to be part of the club. I want everybody to be working. And that is our job. And he says, the question you have to ask yourself is, are you doing this for your own kavod, for your own honor, for your own reward? Or are you doing it for kvod shamayim? Are you doing it l'chvod l'arbot charchav lo tumite? Are you doing it just for yourself? Or are you doing it really for kvod shamayim? And kvod shamayim means that I care about others around me. The very famous piece of the Rechaim HaKadosh in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda of returning a lost object. Gathered inside your house, source 26, gather those straying, wandering souls into your house, the Beit Medrash, and teach them Torah mitzvot. It shall remain with you until your brother inquires after it. Hashem will eventually gather up these souls and consider it as if you returned him to me. 27, the Torah mentions the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, returning lost objects several times. In his commentary to his verses, Rechaim HaKadosh writes, the ox, sheep, and goat are actually references to people who are no more knowledgeable in terms of Torah knowledge than animals. When you find such a person and belongs to your brother, a reference to Hashem, who relates to the righteous, says, brothers, do not hide yourself. Don't turn a blind eye toward the castaways, the unfortunate souls who have become estranged from Hashem. Return them to your brother, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem wants you. This is the biggest Hashavas Aveda. There are these souls that you can bring closer. And my friends, we're not just talking about those who aren't even keeping Torah mitzvot. We're not even talking about, you know, the kiruv rechokik, bringing those who are far off, you know, the earrings and the piercings in every part of the body. We're also talking about kiruv krovim, the imagery in 28 of Elkanah, who went up each year a different way to bring the people up to the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, to go up to Shiloh, to offer sacrifices at the three times of the pilgrimage. People who are concerned about Torah mitzvot, but perhaps they're not aware of this mitzvah, or they're lax about a certain mitzvah, that you can be mechazik them, right? You hear an idea, you're going to a shiur, you're going to be involved in a mitzvah. Bring people along, inspire people, encourage people. There's so many ways that you can do this. That is, you know, sometimes we feel like, you know what, that's their issue, and that's their problem. Let me deal with my issue, let me deal with my problem. No, 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 no. Their problem is Kvod Shamayim problem. And that Kvod Shamayim problem has to impact me deeply. If the Kvod Shamayim, if the glory of Hashem is not fully found in this world, and I can bring it to a higher pitch, to a higher level, so that's my obligation. And I can't just say, you know, I'm learning, I'm happy, I have my Dalai Lamas, I'm sitting here, you know, I'm fine. And again, you don't have to be a teacher. You could be a role model. You can be one who can impact in so many levels. What does it take for a person to call up somebody and you say, you know, it's Elul now, I want to be mechazek myself in learning, whatever it is. Shmir Shabbos, Shmir Kashrus, Lashon Hara. Can you learn with me 5 minutes a day on the phone or whatever, over whatever device you want? You're mechazek another Jew. What does it take? You learn with somebody. Right? I'm not even talking about partners in Torah, which is amazing, which is part of what we're talking about here. But without even going to that extent, if you're reticent for whatever reason, just reach out to a neighbor, to a friend, and particularly in this time when so many people are still, you know, closeted up. What an opportunity they'll look forward to every day to have those few minutes to be able to learn together. This is our job. This is our calling. Within this level of being mechazek Torah, of being able to strengthen Torah, there's another aspect. And that's not just strengthening a person's learning Torah, a person's keeping mitzvos. It also has a financial ramification. And that's source 31. Kiyadua akol alech char chitum. Magodel koach, again, or Moshe, hamachzik et ha Torah, there is an obligation on all of us to make sure that Torah doesn't falter. It's making sure that our yeshivas, our kolalim, our kids who are learning Torah, in-laws, sons, that we're mimachzik them, that we support them, that we support Torah institutions. 32. Even, this is again Rav Gamliel Rabinowitz, Tivot Torah, even if a person sits and learns Torah and teaches Torah to others, and is kaim of all the mitzvahs, aval no machzik acherim, that you're not helping others to learn. Kevan shi maya yachol asot she'od yudiyu matara v'lo asare b'chlal aru, another person can learn. Another kid could go into school, help on their tuition. Ulachzik Torah lacherim hainu lazor begufo b'mamono b'nafsho. You have to help with your body, with your money, with your soul, that another Jew can learn Torah. And if you're not going to help, then this is part of the Arur, Asher Lo Yakim. And there's so many opportunities for this. You know, there's such a financial crisis going on right now. I don't need to tell you that. That was pretty obvious. And even before the financial crisis, how many kids can't afford tuition? How many people are embarrassed to go to the tuition committee? To be able, if you're a person of means, to say to the tuition committee, whether it's a specific person you have in mind or not, what a tremendous chus for Aliyah and the Neshama. You dedicate in somebody's memory, you say, I am creating a tuition fund. I am giving X amount of money, a few thousand dollars every year, whatever it is, so that a child can be able to learn, that a child, a family can be able to, you know, take off that burden over young families, right? So that they could support children. You know, I know that within our family, I might have mentioned this before, my grandfather, Lev Shalom, we're going back in the early days of the Torah Masorah, when the day school system was just beginning. So he was of the opinion that this parents should not be the ones who pay tuition. It should be a community tax. And that way it goes across the board. People who have children, people who don't have children, people who are wealthy, people who are poor, everyone has a tax. And that tax goes to supporting the children because he says it's not fair that people who have kids who have to feed them and clothe them, we all know what that entails, right? Braces, you know, you have to brace yourself for everything. So that takes a bite out of you. So let the people who are older, who don't have the kids to support, let them also share the burden. As you know, his vision was not accepted. And so I come back now, 60 years later, to echo his ideas. Let us, those who don't have school-age children, let us use our money to help be able. This is being Mimekayim Torah, and you have no idea of what effect that this can have. And it's very interesting. The Murushurim Rav Rice brings this down. He says, brings down this idea of supporting Torah. And he says, we know that a person, this is the end of 33, a person is known for three things. Bekiso, bekaso, ubekoso. A person's known for their pocket, for their drinking, and for their anger. Which is, in difficult situations, a person is known to who they really are. Without getting into this Mamar Chazal, the idea of bekiso in one's pocket is relevant here. Because when a person is able to give with their pocket, and they're able to support others, and able to support Torah projects, and able to support whatever it is, you know, whether it's a Go Inspire film to inspire people, or the Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, whatever it is, that they can help with projects that are able to inspire other people. This is all about our job. And that's why, just to summarize this second idea, in 34, each and every one of us has to be able to give a donation, to give of ourselves, to strengthen Torah. Kavedet Hashem Ahoncha, serve Hashem with that which He has given you as a wealth. And a rabbi say, Dori Mehoncha al Mehoncha, that which Hashem has granted you. You're a person who has the ability to speak, so inspire others. The ability to, whatever it is, use that to be able to strengthen Torah. Good. Idea number one is you have to make sure that all of Torah is part of your mindset, that nothing is like, oh, this is irrelevant for me, oh, this doesn't speak to me. It might not be easy, and I might be in process, but process is what's important, and I'm emotionally, I accept, psychologically, religiously, I accept the entire Torah. Idea number two, Arur Shalo Yakim, is I may keep all the Torah, and accept all the Torah, and I have all my Kabbalos, but I keep Torah to myself. Then there's a lack of Tot Shemayim. You're not being making Torah. Right? Don't say Shalo Yasa Torah, who does Torah. It's Yakim. That word is used. You have to be Mekayim Torah. You have to, again, on the first level, Mekayim Torah means that it's Kayim La'ad, that you're going to establish it forever. It's all part of your raison d'etre of life. On the second level, Yakim Torah is you want Torah to be established, that people are learning Torah, institutions are able to pay their Mechanchim v'chule, as much Torah as possible. Here's the third, and this is very fascinating. Let's take a look at it for a number of moments. The third is also Gemara Yushalmi. It's referring to the chazan who does not raise up the Torah scroll above the congregation to show to one and all the faith of its writing. As is written explicitly in Tractate Sofrim, that they raise the Torah scroll and display the faith of its writing to all the people standing on its right and on its left, and one turns it to those in front of him and those to the back of him. For it's a mitzvah for all the men and women to see the writing and bow and say the verse. The Hebrew is shiichra, which literally means lichroa, to bend your knees and say the verse. Dovta Torah Sher Samoshev Zebin Yisrael V'chei Noagim, and says Rabban, this is our custom. Now, and you may see this in shul, if any of you still have a shul around you, whether it's in your parking lot or a real building, when they do hagba, when they lift up the Torah, the person who lifts up the Torah shouldn't just lift it up and then sit down and they roll it up. The person who lifts the Torah should be open at least three columns, right, that you see the writings, and you will see people who are very scrupulous will go mamish close to the hagba and will look at the letters. There's an idea of looking at the letters. There's an idea Kabbalistically, that you're able to see your letter and it enlightens you, but we're not getting to Kabbalah here. And he says for the men and the women, so you have to raise it really high, right, so that above the machitza, they can see it too, men and women, yeah? And turn it in all directions. So you don't just hold it up, but you walk around, you turn around, not walk around, you turn around, and so that everybody can see it east, west, north, and south. Arusha lo yakim. Cursed is the one who doesn't yakim, who doesn't lift up the Torah. So, notes the Sam Derech in 36. We have to ask ourselves about this, and again, we never talk about halacha here, that this is Mehilchos Kavod Torah, to be able to see the ketav, to be able to see the writing, and to bend your knees or bow. And he says here, and again, I'm not telling you what to do, the Samdera Roberto, the Chavar Rosh Yeshiva, says many people, lo shit etzpak tana lo sefer Torah, v'lenashka, they put a little finger to the Torah and kiss it. He says, shechlal lo yadua makor lebin hanza. I don't use Google to prepare sheep. I confess that. So I'm sure if I would Google, you know, what are the minhagim of Hagba and where do they come from, I'm sure I may find a lot of things. I leave you to do that. I like hardcore books. So I'm just quoting here the Sam Derech. He does not know the source of this. But Basmachet Ikar Adin, what it does bring down in the Masechet Sofrim, is Lichroa B'Shazu, is to actually Lichroa, to bend your knees, to bow, which is brought. And the Ramban says, v'chein nahagu, and this we don't do. So he brings down in his footnote, and he says, v'nirah b'nai shelo amru el olamo b'pnei Torah. We generally just stand in front of the Torah, not to bow, because we don't see that we generally even bow by the Torah, right? The idea of gadol Hashem iti is even questionable, whether it's a chazan picking up his sitter, and he bows to the Aron Kodesh, so we all bow. So it's not clear where all these customs come from. What we do see from here, and this is what's important in 37, what we do see from here is al adam laso ko mamatz, a person should make every effort, amanat larbo b'chvodo sotor b'chol tzarav shari. Our job, and this is Arur Shemul Yakim. So yes, when you hold the Torah up, everyone should see it, but right, women don't do hadba, not having men do hadba, you know, once a year, whatever, a few times a year. So what is our obligation? Our obligation is to stand in honor of the Torah for those who bow, bend their knees, to look at the letters. All of this is included in the idea of showing the Sefer Torah honor. And the more honor we can give the Torah, the better. Chayav adam linhog kavod gadol b'sefer Torah. A person, this is Shulchan Aruch Hirdeya, should show a lot of honor to the Torah. U'mitzvah liyachelu makom, o lechaved hamakom ahuv ladro b'yoter, and have a special place for the Torah, and honor it in a special way. And only sit with it b'kovod rosh, the year of a pachad, right? And when the Torah is open, we don't speak, right? It's all part of a lot of laws of kavod haTorah. That's Arur Shelo Yakim, that you have to try to the best of your ability to be making, to establish that there is kavod haTorah, honor for the Torah is going on. I will bring down a very interesting insight from Miskeni Asbonan, where he says, why is it that there's such a big deal going on by Hagba, where people stand and you bow, and like, what is this? And it's one of the Arurs of Shelo Yakim. So he notes that in 38, Kriyas HaTorah in the Dat, B'tzibur Nikana B'Rosh B'Shanah L'Matarachad, the public reading of the Torah is L'Mod L'Farsein Ba'am at Divrei Torah Kedosha. It's about showing the centrality of the Torah. So it's not just, he says, an inyan of kavod haTorah, the honor of the Torah itself, which obviously it is. It's deeper than that. It's what the Torah represents. It's honor to what is found within the Torah. And that's why one who gets an aliyah to the Torah, you have a mishaberach, where a person says they'll give money toward the shul or to other mitzvahs. A person has a child, a boy, a girl, you get an aliyah to the Torah. A chassan, before his wedding, the week after his wedding, he gets an aliyah to the Torah. A person who has a yahrzeit, the week before the yahrzeit, they get an aliyah to the Torah. Why are all of these milestones in a person's lifetime, right? Sometimes people's birthdays to get aliyahs to the Torah. Why? To show us the centrality of Torah. I mean, Hagim Eluk Shirim double squiggly in 39, et ko magal chayav shadam likrat haTorah. Our whole life cycle is connected to Torah. And that is Hakavanahi Lashrish Bekola Chavechadate Diyasha Torah Yinishmat Chayav Shel Yudi, to teach a person that this is the Nishmat Chayav. This is the core of what a Jew is about. Hu Asir Mirkas Isha Les Tovim Kol Chayim. This is our entire life surrounds this. It's not just about learning and knowing, it's to have that relationship that wherever I turn, it's coming from Torah. So by making a big deal about the Hagba, what we're really saying is that I want to be connected to the Kavod HaTorah because the Torah is the centrality of my life. And that's why he notes here in Source 40. In the times of Chassan Sofer, he made a very big deal when the people of the Reform, again talking about that era, wanted to move the Bima to the front of the shul, which is very much like the Goyim, right? And he made a big deal about it, aside from the fact that it's following the Goyim. Torah has to be the center. If you look at shuls, go to Tzfat, right? Go to old shuls, right? You will see that the shuls, right? Go to, Rhode Island. You will see that the Bima is in the center of the shul, because Torah is a centrality of our lives. So my friends, to summarize, that we have the final idea. Arur Asher Lo Yakim, curses the one who doesn't keep Torah. You're right, Rashi. It's totality of Torah. Within that, perhaps we can say three different ideas. One idea is that we have to accept Torah, the totality of Torah. If you say one part of Torah is not relevant to me, that's part of this curse. Number two is, it's not just that Torah is for you. You have to make sure Torah is found other places. Go out and learn with people. Go, you know, provide tuition, build up schools, build up kollelim, whatever it is. Make sure that Torah is being learned. Make sure that others are learning Torah. Go out and impact in any way you can, and we're all walking role models. And three, when you see a Torah, treat a Torah with the greatest honor. Arur Shelo Yakim is the entirety of making sure a Sefer Torah is treated with the honor that it deserves. So, all of this is fine and nice. But life is not about just saying, well, that's a beautiful idea. There's one crucial aspect, and this is really what the core of Elul is about. Says the Datraga, Source 42, Bavos Drobi Natan Tanya, Azin Dru Yurei Hashem Yishamayehu, then one man will talk to another, Vayakshev Hashem, and Hashem will listen, and he'll pay attention, and listen, and write it in a book of remembrance to those who are fearing of Hashem's name, and those who think of His name. So the Avos Rabbi Natan says, these are two group of people. One group of people said, let's go and do a mitzvah, and they're able to do the mitzvah. They are the ones who are written in this book, and they're the Yirei Hashem. And then there's another group of people. They're the Choshvei Shema. They think to themselves, gee, it would be nice to do, but they don't do. And those are the ones who are going to get pulled down by a malach. A malach, an angel, is going to just knock them down. Yes, they get some credit, but they don't get the full credit. Why? Our job is to take from the potential to the actual. It's not enough just to have good intentions, which all of us are full of good intentions, but you have to bring them out to the fore. The first aspect is to make a decision. Then you tell someone about the decision. Once you've told somebody, you've already brought into the world of action, to the world of speech. That's the idea of Azni Beru Yirei Hashem. Then they spoke one to another. And that's what we have to understand. What is Arur Shel Lo Yakim? It's one who is Lo Yakim, who has wonderful ideas about how to uphold Torah. But these wonderful ideas stay in their mindset and not bringing it down to the world. Again, you'll get credit. But one who actually hasn't done it, and hasn't brought it to fruition, if you don't bring it to fruition, it shows you it was just a good idea and no more. Because if you really felt strongly about it, you would bring it into fruition. And even though you get a reward, you can't compare to one who is Yakim. You know, I'll share with you a personal story based on everything that we're doing. You know, when I was preparing this over the last week or so, so we have a chanayah minyan. We've had a minyan in our parking lot every day. Hasn't rained, really. A little bit. Rain or shine. We've had it since the COVID has broken out. So it's been going on for a few months now. Every morning, mincha, ma'ariv, Shabbos. And they take a table, and they have an old tablecloth, the white tablecloth that they put on the table for Kriyas HaTorah, for the Torah. They get it from a local yeshiva. They bring it back and forth. And my daughter has said to me a number of times, you know, every time I see pictures in newspapers, in the magazines, we get the Hasidic newspapers of pictures every week, that's our Friday night, next Shabbos. They always have talisik. That the cover of Torah should be a towel, it's not an old tablecloth. So I said to her, you know, you're right. I said to her, you know, you're right. You're right. And she mentioned it again. I said, you're right. And then I come to this year, and I'm saying to myself, you know, it's very nice to say she's right, and cover of Torah is to have a talus, but what are you doing about it? So today, I, even though it's Erev Shabbos, and I still love to make challahs, and it's past Chatzot, I went out. And I said, I'm going to buy a talus for this table, and then Lina will donate it to a shul or whatever after the spagefa is over. So at least that the tables should have Kavanah Torah, that where Sefer Torah is found should be on a talus, not on an old tablecloth. And it was funny because I gave it to the gabbai who lives in our building without saying anything to my daughter. And then the gabbai comes down and tells my daughter, just tell your mom that we're davening an hour earlier tomorrow. And my daughter looks at me and says, since when are you part of the minyan, Yuma? And then I explained to her, I said, I'm sure he wanted me to know this so that I should see that the talus is being used, you know, not that I'm part of this minyan, even though it's right in front of our window. Kavanah Torah, particularly at this time, what can we do to make our shul better, to make our schools better, to make our svarim better? There should be a Kavanah Torah around, and that's our responsibility. And we know, as Rav Wolbe points out in 44 and 45, it's very nice to have ideas. What is the Nisayon about? What are challenges about? Avim min ha'kolach el ha'poa, to bring it into the world of fruition. And you can't compare something that is b'koach, in potential, to something is b'maisa, in actuality. Our job, in summation in 46, says the Admor Mitosh Zatzal in the Pasuk, Davar bi'ito matov, something in its right time, how good it is. Shebishat ha'kosher b'zmanim tovim, at the right time, like Elul, afilu ma, even something small, haynu kabbalah dehu nami tovi akar l'fnekadosh baruch hu. Davar bi'ito, at this time, ma tov, it doesn't have to be big, it has to be. It's not just about thinking, oh, I really should do, oh, it would be nice. Aror asher lo yakim, baruch asher yakim, blessed is the one who upholds. Upholding is about going out, making those phone calls, writing those checks, impacting others, creating the Kavanah Torah, mindset of what Kabbalahs we're going to do. And with that, my friends, we should all have tremendous Yata Dishmaya.